From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move through this ever hot summer. Hope you're being careful and safe out there. A lot to talk about today, and we're pleased to welcome in Deacon Kevin Stasko, the Director of the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry. Deacon, good day to you.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing very, very well. We are obviously doing remote, as they say, but it's a phone conversation. So we're sorry we can't see you in person, Deacon.
Oh, I'm sorry I can't see you either.
Yeah.
Your smiling face, your Divine Mercy poster. I'm trying to think what else is on the wall.
A lot.
Various awards.
Let's
from
see.
Your August career.
I think we have
lots
a few.
Lots of random books.
Many random books. I think we have a few photos. In addition to the Divine Mercy posters, we have a couple of popes up there. Just to remind our guests where they are.
I've been in the studio many times, so I'm just trying to remember the studio as I sit here. But anyway, I don't know. Your listeners probably don't know, but today was my first day in a new position at the diocese, which is really an old position at the diocese. So I used to be the director of evangelization and catechesis,
right.
And then we split the two departments into the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and the Office of Family and Faith Formation. And today, because of layoffs, which are unfortunate at the diocese, I am now back as director of both departments. So I direct the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry, and I also now, once again, direct the Office of Family and Faith Formation. So I'm back into a transition, back into the position I was in before. So that's what's going on. So that's been the last couple weeks, is trying to get my head around that and meet my new staff members and try to figure out, what the best way to move forward with fewer. We've lost 3.5 full-time staff members in our department, and so that's a lot. And so we still have a lot to do, so we're trying to figure out how to do more with less in the midst of a pandemic.
Wow.
So it's kind of crazy, uncertain time, but we're trying to, kind of hold together and figure out how to best support the parishes and figure out how to support faith formation in this new reality.
Yeah, and, it appeared California was kind of a model for the rest of the country, and then it all blew up on us, and we were ready to welcome a lot of, most of the staff back to the Pastoral Center and where the headquarters of the diocese, all the administrative offices, and boom, all of a sudden the governor comes out with a new edict, and we're back to everybody working, almost everybody working remote again.
Yes. So, that was hard. I mean, I had people that were in the office on Monday for their first day back, and then they were told, "Don't come back tomorrow."
Yeah.
So it's tough. And then, it's been hard for a lot of our parish ministers as well. Who are used to working, obviously at the office and being
right.
able to have gatherings and not being able to do that. So how do we move? How do we move forward? And, ultimately, both of our departments, the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and the Office of Family and Faith Formation, both departments are working on trying to make disciples and to make families that live as disciples. And so how do we do that when we can't gather, when we can't have Mass in person most of the time? And it's just a really different way of looking at ministry. So that's kind of what we've been doing, is trying to say, hey, how do we look at this differently? And all of our staff working from home is kind of living this reality. Everybody in our staff except the admin assistant is working from home mm-hmm. right now. And so we're just trying to figure everything out.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reading, I forget which newspaper it was, and they had just gone from being in the office just now to working from home, all of them, the entire newsroom. And I've been in newsrooms my whole life, And the person who wrote the piece said, you know, we can do this. You know, we all know our jobs and we're all capable. We can do this, but the collaboration just, it's not the same. You know, you walk over to somebody else's desk and say, what do you think of this story? Or what do you think of, and it's the same with you guys. You know, well, you know, you walk over to somebody's there, you have a meeting and somebody pops up with an idea that nobody had thought of and you, oh, that's a good idea. Let's try that. You know, it's hard.
Yeah. And so for the first, you know, it's like up until a couple of weeks ago, the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry, I was having us meet three times a week in the morning, you know, virtually. So we'd all meet three times a week and virtually to try to continue some of that collaboration. But it just got the routine of just meeting online, and it doesn't really feel like connection, and it just didn't really work. So we've decided to stop that, and we've gone to having a weekly meeting, and now I'm meeting with each of the people that report to me for half an hour every week, and which I'm trying to do, you know, I'm trying to do kind of what you said, like when I have an idea, I'm trying to get people on video call, like FaceTime or a video call on the computer and just talk to them for a few minutes. Like, hey, I have this idea, you know, because I think that that's exactly right. Like that connection and collaboration is so important. And when you don't have it, it's just a different thing. And it can, and I think we've all felt it in working from home for 4 months. All of my staff has felt at one time or another, just felt, you know, very isolated. You know, it just feels like you're not connected. And, you know, some people, you know, they have FOMO, right? Fear of missing out, right? They're concerned about that. Other people are fear of people talking behind them, behind their back about them. You know, like, fear of what's really going on at the pastoral center, you know, and as we've had some layoffs and some reorganization and everything else, it makes people nervous, especially when they can't really talk about it, right? They don't have anybody to talk about. They're just hearing a thing here and there, and they're like, oh, my goodness, like, you know, am I next, right? So it's hard. I think it's a hard time. It's a hard time to, hard time to be, again, I don't want to say we have it, you know, that hard. Those of us that were able to keep our jobs and able to work from home, some people don't have that luxury. Some people are, you know, a lot, you know, most people are working from home, I imagine, are dealing with the same issues. Several of my staff members have children at home, and so they're, you know, now they're, it was trying to help them, you know, do learning at home and try to keep them on the schedule, and now there is no schedule, and there's nothing to do, and my daughters, who are 13, having, like, you know, philosophical discussions, you know, to me about, like, in this pandemic, why is the bedtime ever necessary, right? I mean, what's the point?
Right,
you know?
Right.
It's not like I can do anything tomorrow. You're not going to let me do anything. So, what? You know.
Yeah, why do I have to go to bed?
Why do I have to go to bed at all, right?
You've got two teenagers at home. We got four teenagers at home, a little bit older than yours, and we're hearing the same thing, you know, and the weird thing is it's kind of hard to be professional on a Zoom meeting at 9 in the morning when you're still in your pajamas, you know. You know, and it's.
Well, I also think that this thing of, like, you know, we don't need a bedtime. Well, you know, what does it matter? And then I had a lot of arguments at the beginning of the summer, and now I've been worn down. I don't have any arguments.
You don't have any. You don't have any good arguments.
I don't have any good arguments, right? Like, it was, you know, we have to have a routine. It's healthier for you. Blah 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 blah. All this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Now it's like, what's the point? So, you know, it's so hot all day lately anyway.
Yep.
It doesn't get down below 90 degrees until 9 o'clock at night. Like, that's when the bishop sent out, your listeners may, I don't know if they know, the bishop sent out a letter saying, you know, hey, you can have outdoor masses,
right,
but, you know, have them early morning and late evening. And then, you know, here's the restrictions. The restriction is it has to be below 90 degrees at
right.
the start of mass. And I'm like, well, that, you know, in Roseville, it doesn't get below 90. In the last week, it hasn't gotten below 90 degrees until like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night.
No, it's exactly right.
Days,
you know,
right? I mean,
even at 11 in the morning, if it's 85 and the sun's just, you know, high in the sky, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, you know, so it's pretty hard. So, you know, so you're limited to early morning masses, or, you know, masses before 10 or 10:30 on Sunday. You know, and you could try the evening masses, but it's really, I mean, it's hot. I mean, I guess when it's dark and hot, it's not as bad as.
Yeah, but and I think
hot,
it, there's kind of a cutoff as to, you know, usually the evening weekday masses are around 5, 5:30, somewhere in that range, 5:15. You get too much later than that, and I think you lose the crowd.
Well, I also think, you know, like I was looking at just the, you know, the weather app on my phone, and, you know, at when it's 100 and when it's 102 in Roseville, the time that it peaks is between 5 and 5:30.
That's right. In the middle of the summer.
You know, it literally is this time of summer, late July and August, the hottest time of the day is that during that 5 o'clock mass.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's people think the hot part's 2 or 3 o'clock, and that's not true in Sacramento. It's much later in the day. Sometimes even 6 p.m. will be the maximum temperature. It's mind-boggling. Yeah. So yeah, things are hard, and we're all trying to adapt. And I think most all of us thought we'd be out of it by now, and it appeared as if we were on that path, and then this thing took a dramatic curve real suddenly.
Yeah, and I think that the challenge of our parish communities and the challenge of our faith formation and our youth ministry programs and our RCIA programs and our sacramental preparation programs of all kinds in this pandemic period is, how do we accomplish, we're so stuck on kind of a classroom model in those cases where, you know, the kids come every week and they have a class in a classroom and all of this stuff. And now, you know, that may not be a possibility, or if we do have it, there's a lot of restrictions.
So right.
I think we're about to release the return to faith formation guidelines, and we're really going to be pushing, if you're doing live gatherings, that they be done in small groups, and right. that those small groups remain consistent, like a cohort over time. So
exactly.
You're exposed to fewer people. So if I have a group and 50 people normally meet in one room for this ministry, you know, even something like Knights of Columbus, our recommendation would be, well, no, don't meet in the big group. Meet in 5 small groups in 5 different rooms.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, as you can still have the ministry meeting, you just have to organize it differently. And so I think that's going to be hard. And I also think that, you know, the bishops for the last 25 years have been telling us, the U.S. bishops, that, you know, formation of parents and is the most important thing, not the formation of children and youth. And that if we don't form the parents well and the families aren't practicing the faith on a weekly and daily basis in the home, that our faith formation efforts are fruitless. Fruitless maybe is an extreme term.
But that's a lot of truth.
Not fruitless, but not as much fruit is going to be born, right?
Yeah, a lot of truth to that. I mean, if the kids aren't seeing it at home, it's going to be very difficult for them.
Well, you know, the example, and I'm sure I've given it on air before, the example I always give is, if I'm a First Communion catechist and I spend every year, you know, every week, 30 weeks, during the year, telling the kids every week, you know, the Eucharist is the source and summit of the faith, and it's important, and it's a mortal sin if you don't go, and you got to go to Mass every single Sunday, right? And then, all the parents have to do is a couple of Sundays say, it's a playoff game, or,
right.
This weekend. We're just going to blow off Mass because the Super Bowl is more important, or, whatever. So all it takes is a family to for their actions not to align with what the catechist is saying. And those kids are going to, they're going to go with the parent. They're going to, they're going to grow up and say, yes, the Eucharist is the source and summit. I learned that in CCD class. And you know what? The playoff game is more important than that.
Yep.
and I learned that from my parents. You know what I mean? Every time the 49ers had a playoff game, we did that instead. That's equally as important, So we have competing, goods or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my sense is, the parents are catechizing the kids in an intense way just by the way they live their lives.
Yep.
So I feel like this COVID period is a perfect time to shift, right? What if your First Communion program looked like this? There was a monthly required meeting for parents, and if the parents didn't show up at the parent meetings, your kid couldn't receive First Communion.
Mm-hmm.
What if then we took the kids' meetings and just made them fun? We're going to have a trivia game we're going to have a trivia night about the scripture online, and the kids can come on, and it'll be fun. Or we're going to have we're going to have gatherings, but when we gather, we just have a good time together. It's faith-based, it's based on the scripture and the things they should be learning, but have fun with the kids and form the adults. That's
mm-hmm.
just going to be required. In fact, the kids' sessions are optional. The required sessions are for the parents, so that the parents can learn the faith and teach that to their children. And the idea of sacramental preparation, not just being preparation for the sacrament, but also, if I'm going to force a family to go through a two-year process, I should be teaching them how to live their faith every week. And so that idea that at the end of this two-week period, their kids are going to receive First Communion, but more than that, the family is going to be trained on how to live out their faith in a meaningful way in the real in their real life, right? And it's more and more important now because we can't just rely on Mass on Sunday. They may not be able to come, right? So how do we set up practices for them at home so that they can live it out? And I think that, again, if you read the documents of the Church, for 25 years the bishops have been saying this, and we've ignored it. So now we have an opportunity to flip the switch and say, you know what? The parent sessions are going to be required, and the kids sessions are going to be optional this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we also have an opportunity for catechists that have always thought, wow, I'd really like to do it this way, and I've never been allowed to. Well, this year we're going to have permission to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we can't. Whatever we're going to do, it's not going to be normal, and whatever we plan is not going to go as planned, right? Because these regulations, can we meet, can we not meet, how many people outside, inside, you know, whatever, this is going to be changing over the next year, maybe even a year and a half. So we have an opportunity in our parish faith formation programs to really embrace creativity, change, more effective methods. If we feel in our gut what we're doing hasn't been effective for the last 5 years, here's a great opportunity to stop doing that and try something else, right, and see what happens.
The reality is, that's the reality. Every day there's opportunity, even in the midst of a pandemic.
No, I really do think that's true. I was really, my heart was warm that a young adult group reached out to the bishop and said, hey, bishop, would you do evening prayer with us? We've started to do, in the midst of this pandemic, we've started to do evening prayer I don't know if they do it every day, but it was, you know, a couple times a week or whatever. And the bishop, you know, got on Zoom and did evening prayer with us.
Wow.
I mean, I just think that idea that's the other piece too, that sometimes we act as if faith formation and the practice of the faith can only happen through an organized parish program. And I think that's sad. I think that, you know, a lot of formation and practice of the faith and prayer and everything else really does happen through just, like, you know, you and I saying, hey, let's start a group, let's have breakfast on Thursdays and talk about scripture, or, you know, let's gather on Friday nights with a couple other guys and let's talk about being Catholic dads and how we can support each other in that, right? I mean, there needs to be a lot more of that. It doesn't have to be a formal program that you sign up through the bulletin or the website, right? It's, you know, and can we all jump on Zoom and play poker and talk catechism? Sure we could, right? But why don't we do that? We need to empower people to do those things, and we're going to have, I mean, the reality is we may have less staff members at the parish level as well. So we're going to have to empower parents to really think creatively about how do we support each other in our faith formation, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're right about there's a certain number of people who don't like formal groups to begin with, you know, and they're not joiners. And I don't want to commit to every Friday night or every whatever. And we've got to have a treasurer and a secretary and somebody to do the minutes. And we don't want that. I want to get together with three or four other people and talk about scriptures, you know, and like you say, that's a great way to spread the faith and to strengthen the faith, reinforce the faith.
Well, and I do think that, you know, it's like we catechize, you know, the world doesn't need experts or theologians. It needs witnesses, right?
Yeah. So
it needs people that are really living out the faith and are just sharing from their own experience. I mean, I think the other thing that's really missing in our faith formation is, you know, faith formation is supposed to be a safe place where we can doubt. We can share our struggles and our doubts with the faith. And so often it becomes a place where we just feel like we need to say the right thing. You know, we can only quote the catechism in scripture. We can't quote the failures of our own lives. And I think quoting the failures of our own lives and talking about the doubts we have, and other people in the group realizing, like, oh, Bob Dunning has doubts. Like, wow, like, he's such a holy man, and he has doubts too. Like, I can, you know what I mean? Like, I relate to that, or, you know what I mean? So I think that whole idea of, like, just pouring our, being able to find, to create safe places in Zoom meetings and phone calls and whatever, you know, however we can do it right now. But I think we're going to be moving towards smaller groups, groups that are less organized and formal, encouraging parents to do more formation, because we're not, you know, because frankly, a lot of some of the stuff we've been doing at parishes hasn't really been all that effective. And some of our catechists don't have the time to go and get a formal certification, and they don't have a degree in teaching children. You know, they're just doing their best. And so, but then again, if parents aren't really living it out at home and practicing the faith at home, you know, it doesn't stick. So how can we look at this as an opportunity to start forming families? Because we need to practice the faith more at home, because we're going to be able to offer less at church.
Yeah, you know, you hit it on the head when you said that parents are like super catechists every minute they're with their kid, or they're super anti-catechist or no catechist, and the kids pick it up. Yeah, I mean, they're in the car with you. They're in the living room with you. They're at dinner with you. They're watching the TV with you. You know, they're wandering through the kitchen where you're working. And you're role modeling everything, whether you think you are or you aren't. You are. And if you're not role modeling your faith, they are not picking it up.
Yeah, and I think we, and it's not, again, I think people think, well, to teach or pass the faith on to my young, to my children, I need to be perfect in the faith. I don't feel Catholic enough, or I don't feel like I'm devout Catholic or holy enough, so I'm just not going to do it. In fact, I'm going to just let Father do it, or let the religious sister do it, or, you know, let the catechist of church do it, because they must be better than me, and they must be living their faith out better than me.
And I'm not learned enough. You know, I don't know the scriptures very well, and I don't, you know.
Yeah. So, but that lack of that feeling like I need to be perfect in my faith, in knowledge and in practice, be a catechist is really wrong, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's like we just need to be honest and open, and we can learn with our kids, we can learn with our families, we can practice, you know, with our families. And I think kids need to know how to lead prayer. Kids need to know how to plan prayer. You know, we as adults, if we don't know how to do that yet, we need to figure it out. We need to pick up a book of household blessings and figure out how to use that book. You know what I mean? I just think there's a lot of things that we could teach our parents. And just to encourage them to say, like, hey, you can do this, you can do this learning together, and you'll grow in your faith a lot doing it.
Yeah, it's the old saying, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. You know, it's like you don't have to be perfect. I remember a few years ago we used to gather. It was called the Catholic Film Series, and we'd gather at the Crest Theater, and tickets were free. You just had to call, and we'd set them aside for you, and we'd get 300 or 400 or 500 people there, and it would be a movie like A Man for All Seasons, The Way, the one that they always show on Christmas Eve, It's a Wonderful Life, all those movies, once every couple of months, and a bishop would be there. And then Bishop would take questions afterwards. And how did this relate to our? They weren't just religious movies, you know. They were. I mean, Man for All Seasons won the Academy Award, you know, for Best Picture, Sound of Music, those kinds of. And we would go with our kids, and most people would go with their kids, and it was a tremendous faith-filled event that wasn't even billed as a faith-filled event, other than we called it the Catholic Film Series.
Well, I thought that was a great effort. I mean, I think it's important too that we realize that we have a speaker that came and talked to our confirmation candidates at the confirmation conference this year.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Mike Patan, and he's
right.
A really excellent speaker. But his talk this year was really touching, because he shared a story from his own life. And the point of the story, the story's kind of long, and I don't want to get into the whole story, but the point was that when Jesus is not asking us to choose either him or the things that we like or the things of our culture that we like. He's not saying, like, you either need to choose me or, you know, your love for soccer or baseball. Or he's not asking me you to choose movies or me. He's saying, I want you to include me in your life. Mm-hmm. I want you to include me in every aspect of your life. So that idea of not feeling like you have to give up something to be Christian, you have to incorporate the living Christ, take him along with you in a way. And I thought it was such a beautiful message to our teens, because I think a lot of times they get the message that, hey, I have to give up all the fun in my life to be able to be a Christian, right? The things that I really enjoy doing, I have to give up. And I think that's never the point of our faith. Our faith is living our life in a certain way and bringing Jesus with us, but it's not, certainly, I mean, there's certain things as a Christian you shouldn't do, but I think it's really just bringing Christ, bringing Christ and bringing the love of Christ and bringing the teachings of the church with you into your everyday life, not completely changing, what you do. You can still be a soccer player. You can still be a theater person. You can still be a video game nerd. You can still be who you are and be Christian too.
Yeah, I don't recall in all my years of life, you make a great point. Looking back, like, was there something I wanted to do that the church said I couldn't? I can't recall anything.
I don't think it requires, and I think people also feel like, certainly in youth ministry we tell people, you want to pick your friends carefully. You want to surround yourself with people that support your values.
Right.
But I also think part of our mission as Catholics is to be in friendships with people that maybe don't share mm-hmm. our values. Mm-hmm. So that we can be a good example for them in their lives, so that we can help them when they come to those points in their lives when they need to make moral decisions as well. I think it's important. I mean, that's my biggest concern as a full-time worker in the church and a deacon is my family way too much in the Catholic bubble? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
We rarely run into somebody or connect with somebody who isn't
right.
like 100% Catholic, right? And so, when my kids go off to college, for instance, are they going to be prepared to run into a lot of people that aren't, right? Because
right.
we haven't had that experience as a family. And that concerns me sometimes.
Yeah, no, and it's a real concern. Like I said, we got four teenagers. One of them just started college last year, and it's they're a bit in the bubble too, and they know how they've been raised. They know how they feel, and they go off to college, and it's like, wow, Dad, sometimes it's hard for them to find any friends who are where faith is front and center. You'll run a lot into a lot of kids that are nominally this or nominally that, but ones that faith is front. That's why at the college level, I think the Newman Centers are so important.
Yeah.
A place to touch, a place to touch base and say, okay, there are some people that share some values here. And we've been fortunate to have some really good people in the Newman programs.
Yeah. No, I think that really is true. I mean, I think, that's why that program in particular is so is such a priority for the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Is the bishop and Bishop Soto in particular, is that that idea that during college is really a time when kids do need support, and many Catholic kids find themselves away from their parents for the first time, away from their parish for the first time, away from their youth ministry for the first time, and we need to make sure there's something there for them to help them and walk with them and accompany them in their faith.
Yeah, absolutely. And the wonderful thing is there are Newman Centers on just about every college campus. I told a story last week. My oldest daughter, when I took her to the University of Arizona, We were putting her in her dorm room and carrying stuff up third floor and no elevator. And I thought I was going to die. And it's about 120 in Tucson and in August. And we see these people walking across the quad in kind of great numbers. It was a Saturday afternoon, late afternoon. And I said, well, they must be having a freshman barbecue or something. We better get over there. And we go walking over, and they were all walking to the Newman Center for Mass. And yeah. I just felt so good, you know, like I'm leaving my daughter, but here we are, and here's the Newman Center, and she knows where Mass is, and it was a gift from God.
Yeah, for sure.
I should have been looking it up before we left, but, you know.
Yeah, sure.
You get so concerned with packing the car that you forget the important details sometimes. Yeah. So, no, we're with Deacon Kevin Staskow, the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis, and which involves also incorporates the Youth and Young Adult Ministry. Kevin, the deacon, tell us, I mean, all these things that seem to happen in September, most of them going to be virtual. Is anything to share with us on that and on that front?
Yes, we're still trying to decide what to do, but definitely in September, Ministry Days is going to be virtual.
That's at the last weekend of September?
Which is the last weekend of September, mm-hmm. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The On Fire event is right now rescheduled to March.
It is rescheduled at Six Flags.
Yeah, so we're going to be advertising that soon about what we're going to be doing with that. And so we'll either be doing it virtually in March or we'll be doing a series of virtual events. We're working on that. Probably the next live On Fire will probably not be until the following September in 2021, which is disappointing to me. But personally, because that's our big event. We always really look forward to that.
Right.
I know a lot of people do. But I kind of feel like there's just so much uncertainty, and, you know, the park can't guarantee it's going to be open, and we don't know what the restrictions are going to be, and so it's hard because, I mean, if you've been to On Fire, the big event is, you know, 3,000 people, you know,
yep.
packed into bleachers all together, and we don't, you know, we're not going to be able to do, you know, most likely we're not going to be able to do that. Until there's a vaccine, and we don't know when that's coming. So, I don't know. I think we're probably looking at On Fire happening next year, and we're working on some virtual alternatives to it. But Ministry Days will be virtual, and that's, just looking at the address. I was just looking at the dates there.
It'd be 25, 26, and 27, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
25th, 26th, and 27th, the 25th. Will be a day for principals, pastors, and directors of religious education to come together and talk about staying on mission and having a common mission. Friday will be our day for school staff and also parish ministry teams for faith formation and youth ministry. And that day will be two keynote talks and some discussions. We're encouraging, if it's allowed by your county, for school staffs to gather together mm-hmm. at their school site, parish teams like the DRE and the religious education faith formation team to gather together at the parish, the youth minister and the youth ministry core team to gather together, other ministry teams at the parish to gather together to hear two keynotes. We haven't confirmed the speakers yet, but the morning keynote will be on disaffiliation, and the afternoon keynote will be on the topic of the sin of racism and how we respond to that as a church. And then Saturday will be our usual day with multiple workshops and mass or prayer service with the bishop and a praise and worship concert. We'll also be doing our Theology on Tap event again on Saturday night, and excited about that. So similar activities to what we usually have, but they'll be done virtually, details on that will be coming out in a couple weeks.
But circle the dates. It's September 24th through the 26th, the 24th being a Thursday, the 26th being a Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always a great event. I remember speaking on the domestic church one time on one of the workshops, and there were probably 25, 30 kids in the people in the room, and including my daughter, who was about 11 or 12 at the time. And I would talk about the things we did as a family, and my daughter would nod even when I was lying. And that's right, Dad, we do that. But I learned so much from the quote-unquote audience. I mean, it was like we were all co-participants. I remember one woman from Wairika raising her hand and saying, well, this is what we do in our family. And I went, wow, that's profound. That's really awesome, you know. And there are 50 workshops like that, you know, just a real, really tremendous event.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out how to do that virtually. I mean, I think that's kind of the whole thing, is how do we do it in a way that people will still enjoy it. We found that shortening things, not making things too long online, is important.
Yeah, that's true.
And we want to do have some interaction, like that interaction that you talked about having with the woman from Wairika. Splitting people into smaller groups of 3 to 5 people and giving them an opportunity to share and talk and connect with one another, I think will be really important as part of that. I know some people hate small groups, but I'm hoping that with this, especially with this pandemic and less opportunity to really talk to people about ministry, this year will be a perfect time to kind of have that be a basis of a lot of these workshops, is not just someone talking at you the whole 40 minutes or whatever, but also splitting up and saying, what do you guys think about that? What do you do in your reality? You know, what do you want to share? What are things that are you doing that are really working? How are you, you know, educating parents and engaging kids online? You know, these are hard things. They're not easy, and we're not used to it. So we need to share our best practices and, help each other out.
Indeed. Deacon, always a pleasure to talk with you. And I know we're going to start to doing a regular show with you. And so we look forward to that as well. And
yeah, that'd be great.
We'll announce details of that in the next few days. And I just wish you and your family a great summer, as best as it can be. We keep telling our kids, the Lord's in charge. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And that's what we're trying to do.
For sure. That's for sure.
Very good. Well, we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Thanks,
Bob.
Kevin. God bless.
Okay.
Yeah. That's Kevin Staskow, Deacon Kevin Staskow, who's not only a deacon, but is also the director of the Department of Evangelization and Catechesis and the Youth and Young Adult Ministry here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We'll take a quick break. Back more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hi, this is Laura Lynn, Assistant Director for Lay Formation, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Thank you for all you do, and appreciate you, all of you, listening to the Bishop's Hour. And we also appreciate all of you who help underwrite the program and all of you who have supported us throughout the years. We are joined by Nicole Zamora, Director of Community Outreach for Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services. Good day to you.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Just trying to stay cool, trying to dodge the virus. It's like,
I know
it's not even funny, but I'm waiting for a comedian or somebody to show us a new dance or something, how to avoid this, because you just feel like you're trying to avoid it. You know, I mean, the epidemiologists are telling us, when you go out in public, you have to assume that everybody you run into has the virus. You know, and you're going, well, that's not a great way to treat my fellow human being.
I know. And for those of us that are huggers and people that are used to just being around other people, this is definitely hard. I've been adjusting and having withdrawals all at the same time. Yes.
Are you really telling me I can't hug my grandchild? Are you kidding? You know,
Wow. Such different times we're in, right? But we must continue moving forward.
Well, I haven't heard anybody say that God has abandoned us, so I'm guessing that God is still on the job. He's watching this go on, and he's got a plan.
I truly believe in that, right? And he's just asking each of us to open our hearts and to understand, too, right, that he won't give us more than we can handle. He just thinks we can all handle a lot right now.
I guess so. I'm just waiting for the locusts to strike.
Something.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks for having me on today.
Yes.
I know in the middle of all this, you know, people are probably like, well, you guys are going to have an event. Well, it's not an event in the normal, in how we used to think of events, right? But we do know that that kids are going to be going back to school. And yes, it's going to look vastly different than it has in years past.
Right.
But we at Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services wanted to help support students and teachers at two of our Catholic schools, so St. Patrick Academy and St. Charles Bremo School, their parish school there. And so what we're going to be doing is something pretty fun called Fill the Bin, and we will have gloves and masks and hand sanitizers on, ready. We're accepting donations outside in our parking lot at St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Center from Friday, July 24th through Saturday, August 1st.
Oh, very good. So people have a whole week there to figure it out.
Yeah, a whole week, right? You've gone shopping, you have some extra stuff, you go on Amazon, you know, maybe purchase a few things for these kiddos. And, of course, that could look very different, right? So maybe we're thinking this year of some headphones, because if the kids are at home or having to do some of that distance learning, they're able to plug in their headphones. If they're going back to the classroom, you know, backpacks. Either way, notebooks, pens, pencils are very, very important. Some hand sanitizer, right? Some masks, things like that. So we're kind of, we're just accepting things that you would need as you're preparing students to go back, and stuff for the teachers as well, too, right? These teachers are going back to classrooms, again, depending on what part of the year, but we're just trying to help them get ready. And we thought it'd be fun to have a bin, you know, imagine one of those big moving bins in our parking lot. Families can just kind of drive through and pop their trunk, and we'll grab the stuff out for them, or they're welcome, you know, to park, and we'll have a table out there, too. Of course, socially distancing, so that we're able to accept the donations and keep everybody safe.
Oh, that's so great. You know, I wish I had a dollar for every time in the last 4 months that I heard one of our four teenagers say, "Has anybody seen my headphones?"
Those headphones are very, very important. And again, that's, you know, even when the kids are in school, they do so much stuff on the computers, and, you know, they really do have to. Having your own headphones is definitely a good thing, right? Especially since we don't want to cross-contaminate or have germs.
Exactly.
You know, mouse pads are great, too. just anything that can help these kids, you know, feel some sort of normalcy as they're going to start their new year.
Well, at least in our family, the headphones, they seem to have a mind of their own. They end up under the couch. They end up in the shower,
like,
you know.
It's when we throw socks in the dryer, there's always one missing.
Yeah.
Yeah, something happens with headphones. So I don't think we could give the kids enough of those.
No, I completely agree. So, again, drop off, and St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Center is at the parking lot there. Is at 6509 Fruit Ridge Road. Very easy to find. Fruit Ridge, one of the main roads in South Sacramento.
Right at the corner of 65th and Fruit Ridge.
Right.
Bob, kind of a nice, big, beautiful building right there.
Right. And anytime between 8:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the afternoon, Monday through Saturday, and then Sunday, July 26th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Nicole, while we got you on, obviously things don't slow down for you, unfortunately. This pandemic, you guys are working very hard.
We are. You know, our funeral team and our cemetery team are keeping quite busy. Things have definitely changed for them as well, too. There was a period of time, right? We couldn't have any funeral masses. Right now, we're creative. There are funeral masses, and they're happening outside, Bob. And so it's still a wonderful way to be able to honor those traditions that we have, to pay respect to your loved ones. Families, you know, we're also meeting families where they need to be, so we do have virtual meetings for the arrangement. And, of course, if you're looking, right, a lot, we've received a lot of calls from folks as, hey, maybe I should start, you know, thinking about planning, or what does that look like? Because it's bringing up those emotions, right? It's people thinking, okay, this pandemic has made me think I want to get all my affairs in order and have my wishes known. So we're here, and we're offering those appointments virtually as well. So we walk you through how to get on a Zoom call. I think that's been fun, trying to teach so many people how to utilize that that technology.
Well, can I take that class?
Yes. We're very, very versed on teaching that now. And then, of course, we're also welcoming people, you know, into the funeral centers, of course, and we've made, you know, keeping our staff safe, keeping our families safe is top priority for us, too. So we are here, we are open, and, of course, whether that's at the time of need or you have questions, which this, you know, pandemic is definitely getting people to ask quite a lot of questions. So we are here to help and serve.
Yeah, you know, Nicole, I just, with this pandemic and, you know, the people who end up in ICU and hospitals now just have no visitors at all. And I think of those people who didn't make it and dying alone, how sad that is. And then, you know, you read the obit in the newspaper, and it very frequently will say, because of the pandemic, there will be no services, or there will be you know, a private funeral, and it's just so heartbreaking, you know, that, or, you know, for people maybe who aren't religious, but, you know, they wanted to have a memorial service or something, you know, and it just says no services will be held. And it's just so heartbreaking.
It is, right? And so part of that, too, is so many families didn't even get to let their family members know what their wishes would have been. And it's a very confusing time. So to all the listeners out there, we are here. We are patient. We will walk you through what those steps look like. You know, now that it's outside, right, of course there's rules. There's rules everywhere to keep everyone safe so that, you know, we're not spreading the virus. But we can help you, and we want to you know, ensure wishes are being fulfilled, ensure that our Catholic rites are being followed, and that, you know, that important part of the vigil and the funeral mass, and then, of course, the committal, you know, give us a call and let us see how we can help you, again, at that time of need, but really before. You know, this has really, again, opened so many people's minds to, oh, wow, I guess I should have some affairs in order, right? Because this pandemic has brought that to the forefront for so many of us.
You can reach Nicole at 916-840-2138, or you can send her an email in Zamora, Z-A-M-O-R-A, at CFCS, that's Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, sacramento.org. You're aware that there's a town in Yolo County named after you.
Yes, we go visit it, and my sons say that they're going to be mayor there one year.
Oh, that's great. And there's the beautiful St. Agnes Church there, which is a mission of Knight's Landing, I believe, of St. Paul's in Knight's Landing. I've been to Mass there a few times. And, you know, it's just a small gathering of sort of the farm community around Zamora. And it's very charming, for want of a better word.
It is. It is very charming and quaint. And, yes, yep. when your sons see their name on a firehouse, right, that is very eye-opening for them. Yes.
Yeah, there's a firehouse there and a little community center and a Catholic church. And there's actually another church, and there's about six houses. So
yep.
if your sons get three votes, they will be mayor.
They will be mayor, yes. One day, maybe.
That's wonderful. That's a great story. I'm not sure who it's named after, actually. I should know, being a longtime Yolo County resident, but I'll have to research that. You're probably related.
We might be, right? Yes,
yeah.
I know. I know we stop at that gas station quite a lot,
yep,
if we're going to go on a drive, but we love buying something, and it's the only place we ask for a receipt from, right? Because they'll say,
oh, sure,
Zamora, California on it.
Yep,
yes.
It's the Shell station right across on the other side of I-5. Yep.
Yes, right there.
Well, Nicole, awfully good to talk with you. Again, the fill the bin with school and classroom supplies. It'll benefit St. Patrick's Academy and St. Charles Borromeo Parish School. Help students, teachers. You're looking for anything you can think of, really. Hand sanitizers, copy paper, mouse pads, headphones, pens, pencils, notebooks, backpacks, masks, everything that anybody could need. And fill the bin Friday, July 24th through Saturday, August 1st. Deliver it all to the St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Center parking lot at 6509 Fruit Ridge Road right here in Sacramento. Monday through Saturday, 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. Sunday, July 26th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Nicole, blessings to you and your family, and stay safe and sane and happy this summer. And I know you're going to soldier through it well.
Yes. Same to you, and thank you for having me on today and helping us bring some joy to some children and some teachers. As they start school here in the next few months, in what this new normal is.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure you're going to fill the bin.
Ah, thank you. All right. Thank you to your listeners as well.
Indeed. Thanks, Nicole. God bless.
All right. Bye.
That's Nicole Zamora, who's the Director of Community Outreach at Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services. Again, you can give her a call at 916-840-2338. 916-840-2138. 840-2138. This is a message from Bishop Soto. In case you have missed it, the rising number of infections and deaths due to COVID-19 is alarming. Even as we exercise all the necessary precautions in our churches, the risk of infection is greater. Governor Gavin Newsom announced on Monday, July 13, the suspension of most indoor activities, including church services in 30 counties in the state of California. I urge the faithful to cooperate with state and local public health officials. The counties affected in our diocese, and of course there's 20 counties in the Diocese of Sacramento, all the way up to the Oregon border, over to the Nevada border, and all the way down to the Pacific Ocean. The counties affected are Colusa, Glenn, Placer, Sacramento, Solano, Sutter, Yolo, and Yuba. I've asked the pastors, these are the words of Bishop Soto, I have asked the pastors and parochial administrators of the parishes in these counties to consider offering the sacrifice of the Mass outdoors. These celebrations, following the diocesan directives, will continue to provide for the safety of the faithful. In particular, pastors should take into account weather conditions and high temperatures in scheduling the times for Mass. I have asked the pastors to continue transmitting the Mass by live streaming or other means. It's a wonderful way to attend Mass, even though you won't be able to partake in the Eucharist. It sure beats not going to Mass. The celebration of indoor Mass will continue for parishes and counties not included in the list. Those counties within the Diocese of Sacramento are Siskiyou, Modoc, Trinity, Shasta, Lassen, Tehama, Plumas, Butte, Sierra, Nevada, El Dorado, and Amador. We must remain vigilant, especially for the sake of the most vulnerable among us. All the faithful in the Diocese of Sacramento are asked to review the guidelines noted in the Coming Back to the Table document, which is available on the diocesan website, scd.org/comingbacktothetable. The required use of face coverings, contact tracing protocols, and physical distancing continue to be prudent safeguards during this dreadful plague. The dangerous surge of infections and deaths due to the COVID-19 pandemic is disheartening and threatening, especially for the most vulnerable of our community. May the Lord Jesus grant us the patience, diligence, and charity necessary to care for one another. Pray for the Lord's mercy to end this pandemic. May the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary bring healing to all the afflicted, protection to their caregivers, eternal rest to all those who have died, and consoling comfort to their families and friends. Those are the words of Bishop Jaime Soto. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink. its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love.